That's actually a practice, an age-old practice of imagining situations where it would be very difficult to rest, and imagining what that would be like. And of course, there have been people in the world who practice resting as awareness as their sole practice, who have been in situations such as the one you just described. And so, you know, what they, and they never imagined they'd be in situations like that, but once they were able to rest as awareness, and then talked about how the experience, whatever it was, increased their faith in awareness. And so, you see, whichever way the mind moves or the body moves, that's where awareness is. It's not in some other place. So just, we never know what's going to appear in awareness. We don't have any idea. And whether we actively try to imagine something or what it's right here, whether it's what's right here, it's like a dream. No matter what it is. And the more familiar we become with awareness, the more we gain confidence in it. And then the more we see that no matter what appears within awareness, we're okay, including whatever it might be, torture, death. Awareness never changes no matter what appears within it. Whether we imagine some kind of hideous physical torture, which of course would also be mentally tortuous as well, or whether we have fears, emotional fears coming up, or thoughts, whatever they are, that's where awareness is. It's not somewhere else where we have to rush to find some kind of safe haven from the disastrous, horrific image. Awareness is appearing in, of, as, and through that image. It's not something separate from it. The more we gain confidence in awareness, the more we realize that this is the case. And now, when we believe that what we think and feel is real, then we believe that what we think and feel and experience has some kind of power to affect our well-being. And that is the whole crux of the problem right there. That's the entire crux of the problem, believing that what we think, feel, and experience has an actual power to affect our well-being. Once we believe that, then we can never have well-being, because no thought, feeling, or experience can possibly affect our ultimate well-being. By resting as awareness in the direct encounter with all appearances, we gain confidence in this. By resting as awareness, rather going into the story about the power of whatever's appearing in awareness, then we gain confidence in awareness rather than having confidence in the power of appearances. Now, for most of us, this is a very gradual process. And it just comes about in the naturalness of our own experience, whatever that is. What that means is that without trying to contrive experience in any way, which means we don't try to change anything that's appearing, not a thought, not an emotion, not an experience. We don't try to change the actual experience to find well-being. Instead, we rest as awareness and gain confidence in that, knowing that whatever appears doesn't have an independent origin. Whatever appears doesn't have anything that makes it powerful. And this is just really the way it is. No matter what appears, it's comprised of pure space, and space has no power to cause or affect anything. Everything comes from space and resolves in space, and that space is entirely aware. So, you know, this isn't just some kind of cooked up theory or philosophy that can't be actually proven to be so, but today we can take anything that is, no matter what it is, and put it into a particle accelerator, and we can see that everything is made of space. So you see, there's no escape from space. There's absolutely no escape. We come from space, and we resolve in space. When we die, we resolve in space, and that is unavoidable. It's unescapable. We cannot ever go somewhere else other than space. Everything occurs naturally within space, within the great space, not a space that's measured by dimension or measured as being something like a place or location. And so when we rest as awareness, we gain confidence in this. Now, again, when we decide, well, maybe all these appearances don't have as much power as I thought they did, then we can rest as awareness and see whether that's true or not in our own experience. But first we have to know what awareness is. So first we have to be introduced to awareness. We have to at least know what awareness is, so we can rest as that. But awareness is very simple because it is inescapable. It's just always naturally present, like space itself. And so when we just don't go into a story about what's appearing, in other words, we don't give it any power, then that's what awareness is. Awareness is not elaborating a story. Awareness is in not fabricating a story. Awareness is in not being distracted by anything that appears, but just remaining constant as awareness. And in this, all the solutions to all our problems are resolved. Now, just I'll give you some examples from my own experience. Well, you know, it's when I was growing up and being educated, I learned a lot about philosophy and psychology and the way the world works. And for a while I thought, oh, well, my emotions really do have a power to affect my well-being, and so does my thinking. And I really wondered about some of the emotions and thoughts I had, because I was very in touch with all my thoughts and emotions. And I could see that really, you know, if I really looked at all my thoughts and emotions and gave them some kind of diagnostic label, it might not be a good thing. Because my thoughts and emotions were all over the place. Even though, you know, I could proceed on through life in a very effective way most of the time, when I really looked at what was going on inside me, then I saw that, you know, there were all kinds of possibilities about how I could be acting if I took advantage of all these thoughts and emotions I was having. And that was of great interest to me, because I could see that even though I tried to manage all my thoughts and emotions so I'd only have good thoughts and emotions, that really isn't the way it is. That isn't the way it works. The thoughts and emotions just are whatever they are, and they're unpredictable. This is the way it is with everyone. Every single human being on Earth, all 6.5 billion or 7 billion. So, you know, usually we think, I'm the only one who's like this. I'm the only weirdo who has all these thoughts and emotions that are all over the place. That's not the case. This is true for everyone. It's just that almost no one fesses up to it. You know, no one says, yeah, you know, wow, the thoughts and emotions I have, they're bizarre and crazy a lot of the time, because we want to look good and we want to fit in. So we're always trying to show others that we only have good thoughts and emotions and good behaviors. And then we, in this way, we try to convince ourselves that we're okay. But feeling okay doesn't come from convincing ourselves and others that our only identity, our only good identity, can be based on good thoughts and emotions and experiences. So when we start to rest as awareness, it all is there, just naked and bare, just as it is, whatever it is, especially all these things we've been keeping at bay, they just start to appear, and we might be thinking all kinds of things, no matter what they are. Well, just think of all of the web pages on the internet. There are, who knows, there are billions and billions of web pages on the internet. And the mind is like that, too. You know, just think of all the points of view there are on the internet. They're countless and ceaseless. Well, all these are appearances of mind. That's what they are. So any web page on the internet that expresses anything whatsoever, it could be an appearance of your own mind, and it is. So you see, anything on the internet, on the World Wide Web, you can't really determine what you're going to be looking at next. And if you just sat there and all the web pages spontaneously appeared without you doing anything, then you'd really get a flavor of your own mind. It could be anything. But you see, the web pages aren't threatening. They can't jump out of the computer and grab you and turn you into a hideous maniac. You know? They can't make you engage in whatever it is they're touting. They don't have any power to do that. And this is true with all the things that appear in mind. They have no power whatsoever to affect you in any way. And so when all these thoughts and emotions that seem and experiences that seem to be internal start appearing, well, they're just like a web page. They have no power to cause or affect anything. They're just whatever they are. But say you go to the internet and you see some kind of web page you've never seen before. You know, it's something completely outside the scope of anything you've ever thought about, and you really get into it and start reading it and you start believing in it, and it starts to have a power that seems to be there. Well, this is the same mechanism with thoughts and emotions. If you go into it and start to really look at it and read it and analyze it and try to describe it, then you're a goner. You know, you're just lost in the hysteria of believing in whatever is appearing. So all there is to do is rest as awareness and just realize that what appears is not your enemy. What appears is not your foe. You're not at war with what appears. You're not at war with what appears at all. When something appears, rest as awareness, and you'll soon have confidence that what appears is a friend. It's an ally. It's an appearance of wisdom. And just like a web page, it poses no threat. And so you see, it only seems threatening when we start a story that it's threatening. Say, you know, you have some kind of thing, a thought or an emotion appear within you, and you're just totally shocked by it or surprised. Well, what is there to do at that point? There are two choices, choice one and choice two. there isn't a whole menu of choices, just choice one and choice two. Choice one is to rest as awareness, and choice two is to say, oh, wow, that thought I'm having or that emotion I'm having is weird. And that means I'm weird. You know, then we have a story going on. And then pretty soon we're thinking about other people who have had weird thoughts, you know, either that we know in person or have read about in books or have seen in movies or on television. We start thinking, oh boy, you know, maybe I'm like this serial killer, whatever it was, you know. So this is just the way it is. And today, because we're constantly barraged with all kinds of confused and deranged points of view on the internet, on television and movies and books, that, you know, for most of us, since the beginning of our life, we've seen all kinds of things that most people never saw at one time, just because we're exposed to all these visual images. And so, you know, we have a lot to rest with. We have a lot to rest as. But whatever it is, it poses no threat. It's an appearance of forever indestructible awareness. Awareness is completely indestructible. So what do you want to take? Choice one, indestructible awareness, or choice two, totally destructive beliefs in the power of appearances? So you see, it's as simple as that. It really is. Now, the difference between severe mental illness, like you described, and someone who's resting as awareness is, in severe mental illness, people really believe the voices they're hearing. So they really believe the appearances. They really believe that's very, very real. But then, you know, by the power of resting imperturbably, people, even people with very severe mental illnesses, can come to see that they have no, that the voices and the thoughts and emotions have no power, such as in the movie A Beautiful Mind. So you see, it all depends on what kind of support people have. If people have support for knowing that appearances have no power to affect well-being, then it's much easier to see that they don't. Now, you know, for most of us, it just doesn't even seem conceivable that it would be possible to be free completely of all the thoughts and emotions that appear, to be completely unaffected by them at all times, and to just be like an old person basking in the sun, basking in the sunshine, just enjoying the relaxation and the carefree spirit of awareness no matter what appears. We can't even imagine what that would be like, but, you know, it is possible for everyone, and it's possible in a very simple and direct way. However, it only comes about, this confidence only comes about by getting familiar with awareness. That's the only way it comes about. So first, we have to know what awareness is. Second, we have to make a 100% commitment to resting as that awareness. Because if we don't have a 100% commitment, then we'll believe that some of the appearances have power. And then we'll go off with whatever that is. And it's sort of like, you know, someone coming up to you and they're totally scary and frightening and no one would want to go anywhere with that person, but they come up to you and they say, come with me, and you say, okay, I'll go with you. You're totally terrifying and a monster, but yeah, I'll go with you. So that's choice two, you know, to go with the story. If you go with the story, then you're lost forever in a bad neighborhood, you know, and it's your own mind. So, what to do? You know, once you start to rest as awareness, just be certain that you're going to have some bizarre thoughts and emotions that come up. But that they, just because they're bizarre doesn't mean they have some kind of power that's different than any other emotion. And this is really how one comes to gain complete confidence and absolute certainty in awareness, by being able to rest as all the bizarre emotions and thoughts that come up. Otherwise, it's impossible to have complete certainty. If you can only rest as all the nicey-nice appearances, then it's impossible to ever gain complete confidence in awareness. Awareness includes all. It's the all-creating monarch. It's the all-creating sovereign ruler of all appearances. And so when we rest as awareness, we rest as that sovereignty over all appearances. Now, as I said, this can come about for anyone, complete freedom from everything. And it doesn't mean we turn into a lifeless, passive couch potato. It doesn't mean that at all. It means the more we rest as awareness, the more energy we have, because all our energy is taken away when we give power to appearances. Then we don't have any energy, because all our energy is expended on believing in the power of appearances. But, this is no different than, say, we heard an ancient story about people who lived somewhere and they really believed in all these little fetish objects. You know, they really believed that these little statues or whatever had a power to bring rain or bring sun or, you know, whatever it was, that these little objects really had some kind of a power. Well, this is, and so we would say, oh, that's so superstitious. These little objects they believe in don't have any power. But this is the same with appearances. You see, it's superstitious to believe that something is real that isn't real. So it's superstitious to believe that thoughts, emotions, and experiences have power when they don't. They don't have an independent power. The only way we can test this is in our own experience. How so? Well, when one of these bizarre thoughts or emotions or any other thought and emotion comes up, then we just rest completely rather than going into the story. Ooh. What's going on with me? I'm thinking thoughts I never thought I'd think. If we start thinking like that, then we're not resting. So you see, that's being distracted. When we rest as awareness, we can see that even very frightening things that we think are totally unlike what we take ourselves to be, when they come up, we can just rest. It's okay. Or, you were talking about your torture contests there, Alex. Well, you could do anything. You could just, go on the internet and Google something and get a whole bunch of hits and then just go to one page after another and see how these things appear. That's just how the appearances are. We can't predict them. We like to think we can predict them, or that we like to think we have some control over what's appearing. But once we start to rest, we see there is no control. That this is just the magical display of awareness. Whatever it is, and it poses no threat. No matter what appears is the dynamic energy of awareness, and it's inseparable from it. Just like the brilliance of a diamond is inseparable from the diamond, or just like the color of a ruby is inseparable from the ruby. Whatever appears is the dynamic energy of awareness. It is its brilliance. It is its magical display. And that display is entirely illusory, and it's always changing. No matter what appears, it's impossible to hold on to it. And it's impossible to push it away because it's always spontaneously self-releasing in and of itself. Whatever appears is spontaneously self-releasing, like a knot in a snake or a line drawn in water. And so the idea that we are changing the way things are by changing our thoughts and emotions, it's just a total illusion. Because even if we think we're changing something, then the next one's disappearing like a line drawn in water too. So you see, when we just relax, totally relax body and mind without any need to persist in either painful or pleasant stories, then ha ha, we start to feel better. we start to see that we fooled ourselves by believing in all these things. And this comes very quickly, you know, we're just there resting and we see that something that once was torturing us, we're just able to rest as that appearance. And then we can just burst out laughing because we see that, you know, within ourselves, in this natural place of total rest, is complete relief from everything that appears. And so that's very, very powerful. That's really powerful. Yeah. Anything scary could happen. You know, it's just like you're imagining all these things. Well, that and more could happen. We never know what'll happen. We really don't have any idea. We could just think of the greatest thing you fear and then rest. You know, whatever it is, losing all your money, having your partner leave you, whatever it is. Just rest. Your children dying, you know, all these things. These are things I used to think about in my younger days before I started resting as awareness. I thought, well, I like to think of myself as strong and capable, but I know there are things that would happen that would just completely undo me. And I had small children. I thought, you know, if anything happened to my children, I wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know what to do. And then I had some friends, and they had two sons, and one of the sons he was climbing a telephone pole or an electrical pole, and he was electrocuted while he was climbing the pole, and his brother went to help him, and then he was electrocuted too, so they both died. And whenever anything like that happened, I would just go through all the experiences of everyone. You know, the people, I would feel the boys climbing on the pole being electrocuted, then I would feel their parents' responses, and I just had this kind of sensitivity. I don't read scary books or movies, you know, because it's such a fest of everything. But you see, by being so deeply feeling, I could feel all these things. And then then immediately I thought, oh, you know, if that ever happened to my sons, I don't know what I'd do. That'd be just the most horrible thing ever. To lose one would be really awful, but to lose them both together, that would just be incomprehensibly painful, and I'm sure that I would go crazy and berserk and die or something like that. So, you see, once I started resting as awareness, I was completely relieved from that fear. So, you see, I give you these examples from my own life because we all have these fears, no matter what they are. We have fears of losing those we love or being left by those we love, and we have fears. Today, we all have fears of terrorism or, you know, invasion by other governments. This is now pervasive all over the world. Nowhere is it safe, not even in the United States, where people felt very safe for a long time. Now this is a pervasive threat everywhere. So you see that there's no haven at all from all of these troublesome thoughts and emotions by thinking that they have power. If we think that they have power, then, you know, we might really do something crazy and berserk. But what could be more crazy and berserk than believing in all the points of view? Of really believing that every single thought and emotion we have has a power to affect us. And really believing that somehow we must try to change all these thoughts and emotions in order to feel okay. That's kind of the normal way of being, but is that sane? Is that kind of normalcy sane? Would you really call it sane? Well, we'd have to at least say it's a superstition. It's a superstition to believe that things have power when they cannot be found to exist in their own right. So you see, when we rest naturally as awareness, then we just do that wherever we are and whatever's going on. And we gain strength and confidence in resting as awareness just in our daily experience, whatever that is, like relationships. And so we see that when we're in a relationship, a close, intimate relationship, well, what happens? Well, we really get to see which thoughts we're afraid of. We really get to see which thoughts and emotions we give power to. We really get to see that very clearly. Because the other person's there poking us with a stick all the time. Hey, you, wake up, they're saying. So, you know, when we're in an intimate relationship, the person we're intimately relating with, they're like a great guru. Just think of them as, you know, the greatest guru. Now, the greatest guru is the one where, you know, all we have to do is see him and we are thinking every crazy thought we've ever had about them and everybody else, you know. And then all of a sudden, we were thinking all these thoughts, but then they just disappear completely. Well, see, this is what a relationship is like. A good one, anyway. You know, where there's every thought and emotion possible coming up, and it's a perfect opportunity to rest. Now, when we're in a couple, the best thing we can do for each other is for each of us to rest as awareness. That is true intimate relating. You see, it isn't, just like it isn't intimate relating with ourselves to try to change all our thoughts and emotions. It really isn't intimate relating with someone else to try to change them. As much as we might not want to hear that, that's the way it is, you know. So when these things happen, the best thing to do is to rest as awareness. And then if we have something to say, we can say it from there. You know, like, well, no one can respond to our thoughts and emotions all the time. You know, so this is just the way it is. Even though we might want to get together with someone and just have them totally adore us and be sensitive to every nuance of everything going on with us and just say, oh, honey, 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 you're the best and I just don't want you to ever suffer a moment of sadness and just let me do know if you do and I'll be right there for you and, you know, but this is never going to happen, you know, even if we're married to God or the greatest free being who ever lived, it ain't going to happen. So so we might as well get used to it. Then, you know, whatever happens, happens, and we're okay. But you see, by resting as awareness, then, if there is something we need to talk about, instead of talking about it in a way where neither person feels better by the conversation, you know, all this processing, by resting as awareness, then we just wake up, you know, and we see that we're really resting as love. That's what we're resting as. We're resting as love. So then if we have something to say, we can just say, oh, I love you so much, and I feel so connected to you. And because I do, there's something I want to share with you. So you see, right from the outset of the conversation, you've made it clear what your commitment is in the relationship. Your commitment is this love that interpenetrates everything, the all-pervasive love of resting as awareness. Then you can say anything, you know, like, oh, today I feel really sensitive, and I'd just love it if you could just hold my hand for a minute. Whatever. Whatever it is. Give me a hug. Make love. Whatever it is, you know. So in this way, it becomes possible to be loving all the time. You know, being loving is not dependent on thoughts and emotions. And so that's usually a revelation. Whatever thoughts and emotions are appearing, they're appearing as love. When we rest, we see that. But if we don't rest, we don't see that. So just be gentle with yourselves, each of you, and with each other. When we really profoundly rest in relationship, then we get to see what love really is. Otherwise, we just have kind of a fictitious love. It's make-believe love. So by really resting as awareness, we really get to see what love is. Now, when we're resting as awareness too, we know when enough is enough, you know. If we want someone to like us and they don't, well, we might go to them a few times and say, well, I really like you. And I'm hoping you'll like me. We might even be able to be that vulnerable, you know, to say, wow, I really like you and I'm hoping you'll like me. And then, you know, they might say, well, you know, they might even just say, I don't like you. or they might say, well, I like somebody else, or I don't feel moved in that way, or, you know, they can say it in all kinds of ways. So we might go home, and then we think, we start thinking about the person again. I really like her. So I think I'll tell her again. And then we say it again, you know. I really like you, and I'm hoping you'll like me. This is a very natural thing to do. I mean, this is totally natural. Everybody's laughing because everybody here has had this experience. That's why everyone's laughing. It's a laughter of, first of all, embarrassment, because everyone can see this. And then secondly, relief that it's all out in the open, you know, that we all feel this way. There's certain people we like, we're attracted to them, we want to be around them, but it is very unlikely that everyone will always like us. So, you see, when we're able to go to people and invite them into relationship, that's very beautiful, because it shows that we're resting as awareness, and we have a sense of openness and spaciousness that allows us to be in a situation where we could be rejected. We know we can rest as that rejection if it comes up. So we might do that a couple times, but my approach to things is that if there are a couple of times that I say to someone, well, hey, you know, this is what's going on here. And then if they completely ignore me, well, then I just don't say anything anymore. After a couple, I give it a couple tries, but, you know, then after that, it's up to them. Or it's not happening, one of the two. So, you see, now people come to me regularly and they say, oh, you know, what should I do? I'm not here. what do you see in me where I could rest? And so then I say a few things. Well, you know, rest here, rest there, and this will really support you a lot in gaining confidence and awareness. Well, they either do it or they don't. But whether they do it is up to them. It isn't up to me. You know, it's up to... Just, you see, I had to rest as awareness myself, and so does everybody else. Someone else can't do it for you. But, you know, one thing I see about you is that you have a lot to offer. You really have a lot to offer. And so the more you rest as awareness, the more you're going to see this. Because this confidence that we gain from resting as awareness, it's a confidence that pervades everything. It pervades everything. It doesn't just master our thoughts and emotions and pervade the thoughts and emotions, but it pervades everything and it masters everything. So the more that we rest as awareness, the more we really see what we're capable of. And sometimes we might not even be able to believe it, that we're capable of so much. When we rest as awareness, we have incredible confidence and incredible certainty about our abilities. And not only certainty about these abilities, but also the power to carry it out. And this power to carry it out comes in an effortless way. So all this comes from just being in these situations that are day-to-day, like the relationship with the husband or the girl that you like and you want to invite into relationship. This is where this confidence becomes real, by resting as awareness in these situations, not pursuing the story of this, that, and the other thing. No story is worth having. I say that over and over again. No story is worth having. Even stories about awareness aren't worth having. So, you see, everything's always spontaneously self-releasing. So, say you have a horrible thought or emotion, that's spontaneously self-releasing. Then the next moment you have some thoughts about and emotions about wonderful realizations you're having about awareness. Well, that's spontaneously self-releasing too. There's no need to hold on to anything or to try to make anything fixed or concrete, because nothing is fixed or concrete. So you see, this is really the joy of living. It's the joy of living that nothing can be pinpointed, nothing can be nailed down. The real joy of living is that everything is just as it is. It's just as it is, and it doesn't need to be modified or changed in any way. This is the real joy of living, not trying to modify, manipulate, and change everything. So in this way, you become easygoing, you know, really easygoing, and you know you can be anywhere and with anyone, and you'll be okay. You know, you can be with people screaming and yelling at you, or people being really nice to you, and it's all okay. You're okay. You're solidly okay. So you see that all this is in your own awareness. This power is in your own awareness, the awareness that's looking through your eyes. That's where it is. Just rest as that, and yippee. Gets better and better. Unfailingly, no matter how long you live, it just gets better and better.